the series Attitude Adjustment. If you weren't here last week, we talked about serving and what is Christ's attitude towards serving. And today I'm going a little different direction here, and I'm going to talk about enemies. Enemies. Do you know that we all have enemies? Right? Somebody just got hyper-spiritual and was like, we only have one enemy, right? Satan. Okay, it's kind of like if you don't know somebody that's oversaved, it's you. You ever heard that before? Everybody knows a Christian that's oversaved, that everything's hyper-spiritual. If you don't know that person, it's you. It's probably you if you thought we only have one enemy, which is good. That is a good mindset to have, but Satan is certainly our enemy. But here I'm talking about actual people. Now, what we have a problem with a lot of times is, what is an enemy? Okay, an enemy is a person that's against you. It's someone that opposes you. It's someone who has some strong dislike for you, some feelings of hatred toward you. They may cause you some harm. And so everybody has enemies in this life. And so if you are one of those people, it's a people pleaser, and you really don't like for someone to not like you, I'm sorry. There is someone that does not like you. Right? There is someone that is your enemy. They're an enemy toward you. And you know, living in a sinful world, it doesn't matter how wonderful you are. It doesn't matter how much of a delight that you are. There's going to be somebody that doesn't like you. And that might be the thing they don't like. Right? Is that you're wonderful. They might be like, I don't like this person. They're always happy. They annoy me. They drive me crazy. And so, unfortunately, that's just the way that it is, that we have enemies. So the real question is, how do we deal with these people? And I'll certainly go into a little bit more about why people can be enemies. But how do we deal with these people? How do we deal with these enemies in our lives? A few different times, at least twice in the Proverbs, it says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, that way is death. And isn't the way that a man thinks is right usually getting even, right? Getting payback. That's man's way of, like, that's how we justify things. That's how we make it right, is payback. And even beyond that, it's not just fair, right? It's not an eye for an eye. It's two eyes for an eye, right? It's not a tooth for a tooth. It's 32 teeth for one tooth. That's kind of the way that people like to view their enemies. It's like, I don't want to just beat them. They need to be destroyed. They need to really pay for what they have done. They need to really suffer. And so when we think about what makes sense to a man, it doesn't just mean even to get even or treat them bad. But again, it's the worst way possible. If someone is hurtful to me, I want to be even more hurtful to them. If someone hits me, I want to hit them harder, right? This is kind of the way that seems to be right to man. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, why is it that this way that seems right to a man is the exact same behavior of a toddler, of an immature child? That's the way that tends to seem right to a man, for behavior, for retribution, for getting evil, for treating their enemies. And unfortunately, that's the way that a lot of people are taught to live their lives. And so people feel like they're justified. Right? With a toddler, they're learning how to interact. Somebody's got to tell them, no, that's bad, don't do that. Right? And you got to tell them over and over, don't you? Right? I mean, it's not just a one-time thing. Over and over and over. But then we have adults that still act like that. It's like, you're a toddler, knock it off. You should know better by now. And so people act this way, and they feel justified in doing these things, because it's like, well, they did it to me first. Right? They did it to me. I've heard so many adults say that. Well, why did you say that? Why are you acting like, well, they did it to me first. They started it. I'm like, okay, we're in third grade again, right? Why is it that we feel that just because they deserve it, it makes it right? And so people were taught this way, you know, from the beginning of time. But let's look at what Jesus says about that in Matthew chapter 5. He says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father is perfect in heaven. As you read that, it can be pretty easy to look at that and say, well, that doesn't really make sense in real life. You know, it's like, I was mistreated. But it doesn't, like, why would I be nice to somebody who's mean to me? Why in the world would I want to do that? You know, because we have enemies for a reason, right? Because they're mean. They're enemies. They've done something to me. They're against me. They've caused me trouble. They've lied to me. They've lied about me. They've betrayed me. They've hurt me, right? These people are hard to love. Like, Jesus, do you really understand how hard this is? If you did, I don't think you'd be asking me of this, right? It's so much easier to hate. It's way easier to do that. And if you remember, a while back, I preached about hate, and I shared that a lot of times we kind of dismiss stuff like this because I don't hate anyone, right? It's bad. I know that. Like, bad boy, you don't hate. That's bad. You don't say that word. But hate just means to dislike intensely, to dislike passionately. We can all think of somebody that we probably dislike pretty passionately. Like, oh, I do not want to deal with that person, right? You can think of somebody. It may not even be somebody you know personally. Maybe it's somebody on, you know, politics or on TV or whatever. There's somebody that strikes you that way. Everybody can think of somebody they feel that way about. And Jesus says to love these people. He says when it comes to our enemies, we need an attitude adjustment. It needs to change how we view these people that drive us crazy, that we have this intense dislike for. We need to make our attitude like that of Christ. And what was his like? His was not one of getting even. It was not one of not just payback, but even worse. That's not how he viewed it. He chose the attitude of love, right? It was a choice that he made. God told Isaiah, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. See, God doesn't think like we think about people. We got to remember that he thinks differently. So if we're to have our attitude in alignment with his, it's got to be different. It's got to be different than what comes, you know, natural. It's got to be different than what we see others doing. And so Christ had a motive of selflessness, not selfishness. And so his attitude toward enemies was love and grace. And when we think about enemies, a lot of times when we see enemies struggling, do we ever really want to help them? You know, I mean, think about that. When you see an enemy, you got somebody that they're against you. They've caused you some pain, some problems, some hard times, and they're struggling. How often do you really want to help them? Like, you know what? They're a pain to me, but I want to go help them out. How often do people kind of get a little bit of satisfaction, right, in their enemy's struggle? Maybe even a little bit of a smirk as you go by and you're like, yeah, dude, now you're getting what you deserve. Sometimes we even throw that on God and we're like, thank you, Lord. They're finally getting it. Thank you, right? Because vengeance is the Lord, so everything bad that happens to your enemies, it's obviously God. No, it's not. But we think that sometimes, and isn't there something in a person that kind of, if you don't wish bad things for your enemies, you certainly don't wish good things. You're like, well, maybe I don't want to see them hurt, but I don't want to see them do well, right? It's kind of how I feel about the Cardinals. I don't want anybody to get injured. I really don't. And I don't want anybody's career to be over because they're so bad that they, you know, they don't get signed to a new contract. I just don't want them to win, right? Or not as much. I just don't want them to make the playoffs, right? It's like I don't want harm, but I don't really want to see them blessed in that kind of way. And that's kind of how we are with people sometimes, right? It's like, I don't want you to be hurt, but I don't want to see you blessed either. In Exodus 23, The Lord said, if you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall surely bring it back to him again. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying under its burden, and you would refrain from helping it, you shall surely help him with it. This is the way of God. This is his mindset towards enemies, is even if they're against you, even if they've caused you hurt and pain and suffering, and they're a pain in the rear, shouldn't we actually just help them anyway? Because we should be the ones that love. What if they were broke down on the side of the road with a flat tire? Should we drive by and just like, that's right? Or should we pull over and be like, hey, you know what? Can I help you? Can I help you? Can I help you with this flat tire? Is it Courageous? Is that the one? Or what's the War Room? War Room's where the guy does that, where he gets fired from his job. And the one guy, he was justly fired, but the one boss was kind of mean. You know, he was nice to him even when he was doing a good job. And he sees that guy with the flat tire, and he pulls over and he fixes it. And that guy's just kind of like, first he's like, don't hit me. And he's like, I'm just here to fix your tire, you know. And he helps him out. And we saw it really even kind of the impact in that movie, how much you could see that guy's face like, wow, that guy, I thought he hated me, you know, because basically I'm an enemy to him. I caused him a lot of trouble, and yet he helped me. Proverbs 25, 21 and 2 says, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Now, for those of you who are New Testament only, it has to be in the New Testament, or it doesn't apply to me. You'll be very pleased to know that this is repeated in Romans chapter 12, if you'd like to look it up. But this is how God felt about your enemies long ago, and it's how he feels about your enemies today, is that we should help them when they are in need. Feed them if they're hungry, give them something to drink if they're thirsty, and in doing so, you heap hot coals on their head. Love them, help them. This is the best way to get retribution. It's the best way to pay back your enemy, is actually to love them. It's actually by helping them. And do you know that there's nothing that we can give somebody that's more valuable than showing them the image of a loving God? Showing them the image of Christ in our lives. Showing them that even though they've been evil to you, that you are going to love them. Do you know that that's really the ultimate payback? Is to fight evil with good. I mean, it pays them back like 100-fold, 1,000-fold. I don't even know how much. But it's because what you're giving them is so much more powerful than what they gave you. Do you realize that? The heartache, the anger, the frustration that they've caused you in your life. Do you realize that the love and the mercy and the grace that you show them is 100 or more times better, more valuable, more powerful, more effective than what they've given you? That's God's love. And when we do this, it says we heap these hot coals upon their heads. No, you cannot just skip to the hot coals. I better not see anybody going around town with a skillet full of hot coals looking for your enemy, right? To just dump them on their head. That's what the Bible says. Bam. How you like that? Now we're even. No, that's not how it works. And for the longest time, I thought when I would read that verse, I always pictured like the cartoon whenever, you know, they like get mad and they're like, they get all red and the steam starts coming out their ears. Like, that's kind of what I pictured when they get the hot coals on their head. Like, man, if I'm nice to them, it's going to make them so mad, right? It's going to make them so mad because they're thinking, well, I've been mean to you. Why are you being nice to me? You're not supposed to do this way. And I always thought it was something that was to make them mad. So it was going to, like, it was working on my behalf, because that's kind of what I want to do. And payback is you want to make them mad. And so I thought that for the longest time, that when someone's mean to them and I'm nice to them, it's really going to stir them up and get them fired up and mad and make them miserable, right? Because in my sinfulness, that's kind of what I want, is for them to be miserable for what they've done and for who they are. But you know, that's not actually what it means here. And there's this this Egyptian, ancient Egyptian custom that's being referred to here. And what they would do is, when a person back in that time, when they wanted to show sincere remorse in public, they put hot coals in a pan on their head. And these hot coals would represent the burning pain of their guilt and their shame. I know the Egyptians are weird, but that's what they did, right? So like, so they feel bad because of what they did. Guilt and shame, and to go out and to show people their remorse, that those hot coals on their head were a symbol of this is the burning inside of me of this guilt and this shame for what I have done. And so when we love our enemies, when we're good to them, regardless of how they are to us, when we do that, we bring this guilt and shame to them because of their hate and their resentment. It's the greatest gift because it shows them there's a better way, right? It shows them that the love of God is more powerful than the shame and the guilt. It shows them that what they've done to you, the hate of the devil that may be in them, which they may not recognize, it shows them that the love of God is so much greater. And we're told that the Lord will reward us if we can love people who are enemies to us. Luke 6:35 says, "But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful and evil." See, if we can love our enemies, if we can love them, we will get a reward, but it also says that we'll be a son or a daughter of the Most High. We'll be displaying the character of our Father in heaven. Isn't that what our mission is? Isn't that what Jesus came here to model, is the character of our Father? And says when we do this, we will be displaying those characteristics. And this is not what makes us a son or a daughter. It's the evidence that we are a son or a daughter of the Most High. It's proof. It's one that acts differently, who has the mind of Christ. And you know, I think it's pretty important that the world sees that Christians belong to Jesus, right? Isn't that kind of what has the church in the mess that they're in, is that most people don't look like they belong to Jesus, that say they go to a church, that say that they're a Christian? Again, like 75% of this country claims to be Christian. Well, if that's so, we wouldn't have a lot of the social issues that we have, would we? Not if it was real, not if it was genuine. And so it's important that the world sees that we belong to Jesus. Because if we don't belong to Jesus, who do we belong to? Satan. That you belong to, it's black or white. It's one or the other. There's no in between here. And we've got to remember that in life, we're either a slave to sin or a slave to righteousness. It's what, have you chosen Christ or have you not? Because before you're Christ, you do belong to the devil. And sometimes that's a thing where people skate around that because like, oh, that's hard to say. That's hard to even listen to or consider for myself. But it's the truth. It's just the truth, and it's the way that it is. And when we are the property of the devil, when we are acting like him, we're a soldier for his army. Right? You got all the cool like kids songs, "I'm in the Lord's army." Why don't we, like, for, you don't see us singing "We're in the devil's army." Right? But you are if you're not in the Lord's army. It's one or the other. And so when you're serving the enemy, you're living the way he lived, acting the way he acts. You fight the way that he fights. You hate the way that he hates. Satan, the destroyer, filled with hate. And when people retaliate with hate, that's exactly who they're doing the work for. It's for the enemy. But Jesus has called us out of that mindset. He's called us to adjust our attitude to this place from hate and judgment to love and forgiveness. In Galatians 5:19 lists the works of the flesh. It tells us the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I can tell you beforehand, just as I've told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Hatred is a sin, right? Intensely disliking someone, passionately disliking someone, it is a sin. And we all deal with it, right? We all deal with it. It doesn't make you a terrible Christian. It makes you a terrible Christian if you just accept it as it is and you just continue to hate. You've got to give those things over to God. We've got to get to a place where we recognize those sins, how we feel about someone, and we need to give that to the Lord. We need to talk to Jesus about this. We need to get with people and have them pray for us and ask for help. Listen, we've got to not deny it, and we've got to not do the opposite, which is when people just sit and they beat themselves up about it. We've got to deal with it right now. You know, we can't afford to go on living our lives in hate. That's what's being stirred up in the media, even right now. Hate. Some people be like, well, I don't hate other races. I don't hate this group. I don't hate that group. I just really don't like them. It's the same thing. We've got to get past that. We've got to ask for help. It's not just do it in your own power, get past it, but it's ask Jesus for help. We need our attitude adjusted to that of Christ Jesus. Sometimes we think that God expects things of us, but he just doesn't really understand what he's asking us to do, right? He doesn't know the world we live in. He's not been in our position, but he has. Romans 5:10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And there's a time where you were an enemy against God. There's a time where I was an enemy against God. And until we follow Christ, that's exactly where we're at in our lives. Listen, there was a point where you were the guy with the flat tire, right? You were the guy who needed help. And thank God that he doesn't just stroll on by with a smile on his face like you're finally getting what you deserve. Right? We were that person. You might still be that person today. Ephesians 2:3 tells us, among whom also we once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Man, that's what we deserve. Is wrath. And apart from Jesus, that's exactly what we're going to receive if we don't choose to follow him. But Romans 5:9, going back a few verses, tells us, much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him, through Christ Jesus. If Jesus had a different attitude toward us, if he didn't have that attitude of love toward us, when we were enemies, when we were against him, we would all be hellbound, every one of us. And even those who are still against him, do you know that he died for them too? Do we remember that? I mean, we can remember that Jesus died for us. That's pretty easy to remember. But do we remember that those people, those enemies that we have in life, do we remember that Jesus also died for them? Do we remember that they are just as valuable in his eyes as we are? Do we remember that they need to know him just as badly as we do? Do we remember that he is waiting for them, just like there was one time when he was waiting for us? Or maybe he's waiting for you today. You know, he's still working on them. He's still willing to accept them if they'll choose to follow him. And we need to remember that Jesus died for these enemies, and then he provides our enemies and those who are still enemies of him with some of the very same blessings that he gives us, the children of God. Right? We're reminded of him in this text in Matthew chapter 5. Right? The sun rises on the good and the evil. Some of you may not even consider that a blessing if you like to sleep all the time. I don't know. Some people just like the dark. The sun rises on the good and the evil. That's a blessing. That's a blessing from God. The rain comes to both the just and the unjust. Right? The eclipse we had Monday, it can be seen by the saint and the sinner. Right? God didn't block the sinners from being able to see that awesome thing that he did. How would you treat your enemies? What if you were God? How would you treat your enemies? What if you had the option? You could actually just do what you wanted to do to them because you had that kind of power. You know, I think that there's some days where maybe I would try to withhold the sun and the rain. Be like, take that. Be cold. How do you like it? You know, don't tell me you never had those days where you wouldn't want to, you know, kind of, aha, how do you like it? You know, I might have even temporarily blinded some heathens on Monday. Like, you're not going to see this eclipse. It's like, you're going to put those glasses on, you're going to see nothing. When we were out here looking at it in our yard, I actually told Christy, this would be hilarious. Like, I believe that my God has an extraordinary sense of humor. And I think that it would be hilarious if clouds covered that thing up and nobody could see it. And right at the time that it was supposed to be the best, it was blocked by clouds. It was here. And I was like, you are hilarious, God. And I took my glasses off and I went back to working on what I was working on. But you know, if we had that kind of control, if we could actually choose whether our enemies received some of those blessings that God gives us both, I think we might just let them suffer and be left out in the cold. But Jesus has a different attitude. He has that one of love. He's that perfect example, and we need to align our attitudes with his. And we need to remember stuff like 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but he's long-suffering toward us. He's patient with us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Sometimes when we hate or we strongly dislike people, we want to play God. We want to crush our enemies. We want to see God do so. But you know what? If we really want to play God, if we really want to have the power that God has, do you know that he's already given it to us? It's love. It's grace. That is the power. That is, you do have the ability in that sense to do what God would do to those people because he's already done it. He already gave his life for them. He already shows them blessings day after day after day, even though they shouldn't get them, even though they don't deserve them. That is, we do have that ability. Try to see these people with compassion. Try to see these people as someone who deserves the same treatment as your brothers and sisters in Christ, the people who, well, it's easy to treat them good. They treat me good, right? Try to see your enemies in that way, that they deserve the same treatment. Ephesians tells us regarding our own brothers and sisters, regarding believers. It says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. That's what he tells us to do to one another, to believers. But again, if we're going to treat our enemies just the same as we would treat our brothers and sisters, we need to do the same for them. Be kind, forgive, be tenderhearted. Jesus died on a cross to overcome hate. Jesus died on a cross to forgive those who would believe in him. He died on a cross to forgive his enemies, to forgive our enemies. And so when we choose hate, listen, we're choosing to act upon the very sin that put Jesus on that cross in the first place. When you choose to strongly dislike someone, when you choose that and you're like, you know what? I don't care what the Bible says. I don't like them and they deserve it. Right? When we go down that road, we're acting on the very sin that put Jesus on that cross in our place. That's what we're doing when we hate. Listen, it's not just that we intensely dislike our enemy. It's that we choose to walk in the same attitude that drove the nails right through Christ's hands. I saw this children's church story where this teacher put this big target on the wall. And when the students came in, They said, draw a picture. Here's a piece of paper and some crayons. Draw a picture of someone that you dislike. Every student, every kid, draw a picture of someone that you don't like. They're like, okay, that's pretty easy. I mean, some were drawing pictures of a kid in their class. Some are drawing pictures of a younger sibling. Somebody drew a picture of the teacher. You know, somebody drew a picture of their mom or their dad, whoever got on to them on their way to church this morning. And they get these all done. And he has a bunch of darts there. And so he's like, okay, stick your picture up on the target and throw some darts at it. You know, you get to throw some darts at these people that you don't like. And so they did it, and they had a blast, right? I mean, you imagine that. Kids are like, yeah. How many of you as a kid did that? Nobody else in here put a picture of somebody that didn't like on a dartboard and threw darts at it? I'm literally the only person in the building. I don't believe that for a second. Lori, did you do it? No? Okay. I think that somebody else probably did. Okay, I didn't make the idea up. But these kids do it, right? And they're throwing darts at it, and they're getting satisfaction. Like, yeah, I feel good now. I feel a lot better. And then the teacher takes the pictures off, pulls the target off, and all the kids were speechless and started to break down in tears as they saw there was a picture of Jesus behind those people that they were throwing those darts at, behind their enemies. Was their Savior, that by throwing those things, by injuring and afflicting those enemies that they had in their lives, they were piercing their Savior over and over and over and over. Think about the impact that we have whenever we choose to hate. Think about the impact whenever we choose to hate our enemy. And it's like throwing those darts over and over. It's like driving those nails over and over and over and over. Why would we choose to continue to do that? If we could pull that person away and we could see the image of God behind them, would we continue to do that? And he tells his class, he reads the scripture, Matthew 25:40, truly I tell you, whatever you do for the least of these brothers and sisters, you did for me. What would we choose to do for our enemy? Would we choose to love them as Christ would, or would we choose to hate them in the way that seems right to a man, to get even? You know, our enemies are our enemies because they hurt us, right? They are enemies. They are against us, okay? And it's for a reason, but God calls us to be different. In Romans, he tells us to not repay evil for evil, right? But he says, but if at all possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And then he tells us to not be overcome by evil, but to be overcome by good. And that's what we've got to try to do. It's, you know, evil is overcoming people every day. Every twist and every turn that you go down, you see evil overcoming people. We're supposed to be overcome by good, by choosing to love. And so today I'm going to ask you, if you would stand with me and bow your heads. Worship team, if you'd come on up. If we think about who our enemies are, and it's okay to picture them right now. It's one of those things where we have that mindset, I can't do that because I'm not supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to associate the word enemy, and don't tell somebody they're your enemy. It's probably not going to go well. But think about the people that you strongly dislike, that you passionately dislike, and just picture them for a moment. And as you're picturing that person, I just want you to think, picture that person standing there or sitting there, whatever they're doing, and you picture our Father in heaven as he's looking down at that person. And he's thinking, I love that person. I created that person. And Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and he's saying, I'm with you, Father, because I died for that person. I went I lived a sinless life. I died a horrible death. And I was rose from the grave by your power to overcome the hate that is in that person and the hate that somebody may have for that person. Picture the look of the Father, the look of Christ as they're looking at that person. And I want to pray right now and ask that God would give us that kind of a heart for that person in our lives. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, that you are good. God, we thank you that your love is so amazing, that it's so much greater than the hate that is often within us, than the hate that is in this world. Your love is so tremendous. And Father, we thank you that you look at those people the way that you do. God, we thank you that you look at us the way that you do. But God, we ask right now, Lord, we ask for something miraculous to happen in our lives, for something supernatural to happen in our lives, that those people that we strongly dislike, those people that we passionately dislike, that Father, you would give us a heart for that person like your heart is for that person. That you would help us to see that person not for what they have done to us, but God, what you have done for them. Help us to see the love that you have for them. Help us to produce that same love, that the Spirit of the living God would work that love in my heart for my enemies. Lord, that the Spirit of the living God would help to remove that mindset of getting even and payback and what's justified and what's not. And God, that you would help me, help each person here to have compassion and mercy and grace and love and forgiveness for those enemies that we have. Root out the bitterness that may be caused from the way that we've thought in the past. But God, we ask for that attitude adjustment. Put our attitude toward our enemies in line with your attitude toward your enemies, which may include ours. But Father, we ask right now for that purifying of our minds. Lord, that you would help us, that our mind would not be conformed to this season or this time, this world that we live in, but that you would transform our minds, renew it, and help us to see people in the way that you do today. Lord, we thank you and we love you. We ask you, Lord, this be done continually. We ask that continually, Lord, the enemy's going to come back. We've already heard about the enemy talking, the enemy whispering, the enemy trying to pull us back. And it will happen. We will have those thoughts about those people again. And Lord, that we ask that by the power of your Spirit that you would speak to our hearts and remind us of that image of you looking down from heaven and you looking upon that soul with that love and that care and that compassion that you have, and that you would stir it in our hearts. So we ask for healing in our hearts, our minds right now. Lord, for those mindsets of the past. Lord, for the hurts that have been done. God, that today that you are a God of healing. And we ask that today be the day that that healing be done. Lord, if forgiveness needs to happen, if something needs to be laid at the altar, that today would be the day that that would happen in our lives. That you would set the captives free from any bitterness or animosity, any unforgiveness that may be within our hearts. As we open up the altars, Lord, we ask for your Spirit to move to the glory of Jesus Christ, that his name be glorified in our lives, in this church, in this community, in this nation, in this world. We ask for you to have your way with us today. In Jesus' name, amen.